you have your Bibles, open up this morning to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 is where we'll be this morning. Philippians chapter 1. The title of today's sermon is Attitude. Do you control it or does it control you? Attitude. Do you control it or does it control you? Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just open this service up to you, God. This is your service. We're your people. We just want to serve you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We're here today, God, to receive the word, Lord. We want an anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We want to be touched. We want to move. We don't want to come in here and leave the same way, Lord. We want to leave a different man or a different woman or a different child, Lord. So, God, we pray that you would just take us, Lord. Use this information. Use this wisdom. Use this knowledge that you're going to speak to us and help it to change our lives and make a lasting impact in the world that you created, God, for all your people. People said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Not many people in the congregation today can genuinely say, well, normally I have a pretty good attitude. Well, anybody? A couple people? Yeah, yeah. How many people are going to be really honest with me today and they're going to say, you know what, Pastor? I'm willing to raise my hand and say that my attitude changes like the weather in Kansas. Oh, yeah. There is some people that change like that, right? We all have attitudes. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, many times our attitude changes based on the circumstances around us. We don't want it to, but if we're really truthful with ourselves, you got to be that way. If you're going to let God change you, if you're going to let God work in your heart, you just got to be open with Him. You just got to be truthful. And so if we're to be truthful, many times the circumstances around us might change our attitude just a little bit. This morning, I want to make a bold, confident statement. And there's my statement is this. Next to knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is nothing more important than having a good, positive attitude. Think about that for a minute. Next to your relationship with Jesus Christ, there is nothing more important than having a good, positive attitude. Because you see, a good attitude, or an attitude in general, it can make or break you. It can heal or hurt you. It can make you friends or create you many enemies. Your attitude can make you happy or make you miserable. It can really define success in your life or failure. Through 24 years of ministering to people and working with people, I've learned a couple things. There are some people, like maybe those that raised their hand when I said that generally have a good attitude, that no matter what's going on in life, they look at things and they say, you know what? They just see a bed of roses. And I love that. I think that's great. And then there's a lot of people that are the other wide. And they say, you know what? It doesn't matter how many blessings are happening in their life, how many good things are going on, no matter what the great things that are taking place, they always think that the world stinks, right? It reminds me of some pranksters. Is there anybody who's a prankster in here? Yeah, Andrew, you better be raising your hand for that one. Yeah, some pranksters. There were some pranksters. They had grandkids. And you know, when you're a grandfather, you expect the grandkids to pull your chain a little bit. And so there are some pranksters, and what happened? I remember Josh used to be a big prankster. Faith used to be a big prankster to our pastor. We had a guy named Pastor Woody. He was an older man. He would sit in his desk and the kids would hide and try to scare him. Well, that's pretty funny when you're a young person. You could take that. When you get up to your 70s, you really don't want to be frightened too often. So I thought they might have killed the pastor on several occasions, but they didn't, praise the Lord. But they were pranksters. They would hide and jump out. There was another prankster, and this guy was trying to mess with his grandfather. His grandfather was just a cranky old man, always had a bad attitude. So he fell asleep. They found some Limburger cheese, and they put it on his mustache. The grandfather got up. That's the third stinkiest thing in the world, supposedly, according to the internet, by the way. They put that on his mustache, and he walked around, and he's like, man, something stinks. And he goes in the living room. This living room stinks. And he goes into the kitchen. This kitchen stinks. And he goes outside. This whole world stinks. And the thing was, what stunk was him, not any of those other things. And you know what? I bet 95 out of 100 people feel the same way. When you feel like the world stinks, it's probably not the world that stinks. It's probably not the people around you that stink. It's probably you that stink. And the problem is, that's how our attitude works out. Is our attitude, if we have a negative attitude, it doesn't just impact us, but it impacts all kinds of other people. The scripture that I opened up today is amazing. And it's amazing for the fact that the guy who wrote this stuff was in prison. Anybody ever been in prison before? I've been there to visit people. So you think about this. This guy is in jail. He's in jail. Paul, he's in jail. He's in Rome, miserable. And he writes this. He says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, if anybody had a reason to have a bad attitude, to be miserable, it would have been him. Prior to this, in the chapter you see, he was thrown in jail for believing in Jesus Christ. And the people knew that. And so people were going out and they were preaching. Hey, they were preaching God even more and more powerful because they were so excited. They said, this guy is persecuted because of Christ. And so he's sitting in a jail cell. He could have been like, you know, singing that song. How does that go? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms. You know, he could have sang that one. Little ones, skinny ones, fat ones, big ones. I don't know. Eat some worms today. However that song goes. He could have sang that song, but he didn't do that. It gives us these words of inspiration. It says, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. I was reading that, and I was like, wow. I've read it a bunch of times, but I never read it and thought about, this guy's in jail writing this. You see, I could have wrote that. I could have wrote those same words. After I just bought my new house, after I just got married, after I had a brand new car, I could have wrote those words. After I got a big award at work or something like that. But to be sitting in a jail cell and to write those words, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Man, that's tough. And what he's telling us is no matter what goes on in your life, no matter how many unexpected disruptions you have, no matter how many frustrations you have or difficulties you have, no matter what stuff comes your way, that we're supposed to respond with a Christ-like attitude. Now do me a favor and think back this week. Think of all those situations that you encountered. There's probably one or two poking out in your mind right now. And ask yourself, did I respond in a Christ-like manner during that negative situation? Interesting, huh? I believe every single person, and every married person for that fact, in the congregation has an attitude. And sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good, and sometimes they're just plain nasty. Amen? So today I'm going to talk about three different ways that our attitude affects us and maybe some things we can do about it to try to change it. Now, I'm not a miracle worker, so I'm not saying you're going to leave here and you're going to have the best attitude singing zippity-doo-dah all day long. I wish you would. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit can do that to you, but Alan, I just don't have the power to do that. I'm trying to learn it myself here. And that's why God gave me this message, I think. So I'm going to talk three facts about our attitudes. So husbands and wives, girlfriends and boyfriends, this is good information for you. Children, good stuff. I dare to say our attitude, like I said before, is the most important thing next to your relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe our attitude is more important than the facts that people have for us. I think it's more important than the circumstances that we face. I think it's more important than what other people say about us. I think it's more important than your past, your education, your money, or your lack thereof. I think your attitude is what ties you to the rest of the world. So you can have the greatest skills. You can have the greatest talents. You can be the smartest person, the kindest person, the most loving person. But if you have a bad attitude, you know who you're helping? Nobody. Nobody. It's your attitude that is important. That's the connection between you and the rest of the world. And so attitude is critical. I was thinking, attitude affects every part of your life. Have you ever been one of those persons, you wake up in the morning and you're crabby before you even get out of bed? You ever had those days? You hate everybody, including yourself. You're so miserable, and you haven't even got out of bed yet. You're just like, this is going to be one of those days. One of those days. Yep. You reach over to shut off your alarm clock and it falls on the floor. Perfect. Perfect. You go to pick up the alarm clock and you fall out of the bed. I mean, we have those days. But I believe your attitude, as Scripture talks about it, what comes out of your mouth actually comes out of your heart. And you know, I tried to find different ways to say that that Scripture was talking about something different in a context, but it's just true. I like to think that I'm not a terrible person. I don't want to talk bad about anybody or anything. But there's some terrible things that come out of my mouth sometimes. I mean, it's true. And so I kept reading that Scripture in Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is." And I'm like, no, I'm a really good person. I don't know where that came from. Well, it came from inside. It's kind of like this jar of flour I got here. Josh, you want to demonstrate this for me here? Kind of like this jar of flour I got. You know, you think about all the things that you have inside of you. And so we'll just say this flour is Josh's attitude. We'll just say that flour is Josh's attitude. Turn around. And so Josh's attitude is pretty good when things are going good. Like you had a birthday and your attitude was good, right? Yeah, pretty good, right? And so, but on a typical day, here's what happens. Josh goes to sleep really late and he wakes up really early. How's your attitude then? Terrible. To get a little shaken up a little bit? Shaken up a little bit, but no bad, not too bad, right? And then you get on the bus and you fall asleep, right? And that's not too bad until you got to wake up and go to college. Then you're a little miserable again, right? And then you get ready and you go to college and all that stuff is fine. You get sleep more on the bus. And then you come back to school and everything's fine. Then you come home from school. And what is the first thing your parents say? Josh, do you have any homework? No, I don't have any homework. I'm tired. Well, we take out the garbage and I happen to notice a bunch of empty blank papers in Josh's car. Where could those come from? So I say, Josh, looks like you got a lot of homework. That stuff's not due till Friday. I don't care, Josh, you need to do that. Now how's your attitude? Yeah, it gets shook. Oh, some stuff's coming out. Yeah, it gets a little more violent, right? And then I say, well, Josh says, well, Dad, I don't have the right book. I said, well, go back to school and get it. How's your attitude feeling then? And then all of a sudden, he's going to school and somebody cuts him off to get his parking spot. How do you feel then? Yeah, you're getting really upset now, aren't you? And as you go through things and you come through, all that stuff comes out. All that flour ends up leaking out of the jar because you're so darn mad, right? Yeah. And so what's the problem? Is it the lid's not on tight enough, maybe?
There could be.
Oh, my God. Yeah, is the lid not on tight enough? Is that the problem with his attitude? He just needs to behave a little better? No, that's not the problem. Is it that gravity is taking place that's the problem? No. Is there that he's got too much attitude? Well, potentially. But the problem is what's inside always comes out. Man. And so you could be like me and say, well, I'm a good person. I don't know where that bad thought came from. Well, it came from inside. Whatever's inside always comes out. God tells us this in Scripture. Matthew 15, 17 through 20 says, "Yet do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated?" Bill and I were talking about that earlier. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." Let me read that again. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." And so it's the stuff that comes out of our mouth that defiles us. And so many times we have these things, these thoughts, and we just let them out without thinking about it. Has anybody ever been guilty of that? Somebody once told me, that's called verbal diarrhea, Pastor. I said, why are you telling me that? I don't need to know that. And then they winked at me. But you see, much louder than the words you or I speak are the actions that we have. And our attitudes always result in either an action or a reaction. I'll tell you what, when you're a two-year-old, you know what's going on in that two-year-old's life, don't you? Okay. I want a bottle. I'm thirsty. You ever had that problem? No? She's like, why are you messing with me? Yes, yes, huh? You ever get upset when you can't get what you want? What about you? You're like, this new video game come out, Mom, and I want it. What, Matt? I can't have it. You never acted like that? I wouldn't tell anybody that either, brother.
But you know, our attitudes always, that stuff always comes out in the way that we act. And so what I'm saying is that whatever's inside of you will come out. You can think you're a good person. You can think you're a happy person. But if bad stuff is coming out, you need to look inside and say, where is this stuff coming from? So that's the first thing about attitudes. The second thing I want to share with you about attitudes is our attitude determines the success or the failure of every relationship in your life. Everyone. Your attitude determines the success or the failure of every relationship in your life. Now, I know some people might disagree with me a little bit here, but sometimes relationships won't even get started because of our attitude, because we've built up walls, because nobody can come in, because we have such a bad attitude. Attitude affects our marriages, amen? It affects our relationships with our kids, our relationships at work, our relationships with people at church. A good attitude can help those relationships come together, but a bad attitude can hurt it with destructive words and deeds. There's a beautiful story about attitudes that I love. It's in the book of Numbers. How long has it been since anybody read the book of Numbers? It's an old book. It's the fourth one in the Old Testament. But in the book of Numbers, there's a story about Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. And Moses, he's doing a great thing. He's known as having a good attitude. He's a humble man. He loves the Lord. He's serving the Lord. He's doing the right things. He marries this Ethiopian woman. And all of a sudden, his sister's not too happy about that. Well, the problem is, sister's really not happy because she's not happy that he's a leader, and she's not. And his brother's not happy about it either. And so you know what they start doing? They start bickering. They start talking bad about Moses. And God loved Moses. So God got involved. Listen to what this says. Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married. So they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the face of the earth at that time. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of the meeting." Man, when you get called out by your parents, that's bad. But when you're getting called out by the Lord, whoo, man. Says, "Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of the meeting." So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in front of the door of the tabernacle. And he called Aaron and Miriam. They both went forward. Then he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned towards Miriam, and there was a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, please do not lay the sin on us in which we have done so foolishly, in which we have sinned." I've been called out by some people before, but I don't ever want to be called out by the Lord like that. Let me paint the picture of what took place here. Here they are, Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. Moses was doing a good thing. Miriam gets upset. She loses her temper. Moses is counting on his family. But what happens is the people who Moses thought he could count on and trust most turned their back on him. They were talking evil against him. They were going around behind his back. They were criticizing him. They were stirring up trouble among God's people, against their leader, against their own brother, Moses. Now that's not what families are supposed to do. But you see, a bad attitude can cause you to do things you never thought you were able to do. You see, most people stir up problems out of reasons from their own heart, out of bad attitudes. And that's exactly what happened here. The fact that Moses had an Ethiopian wife, that wasn't the real problem. The real problem is Miriam was jealous that he was a leader and she wasn't. And so she stirred up some trouble. How many times do we get into the same situation? We're jealous of what somebody has, of what somebody is, of what position they have, of how happy they are in life, or some other thing, and we go and criticize them and cause trouble against them, when they're not the problem at all. They didn't do anything wrong. The problem is our own sick, sour, miserable attitude. I've seen, and you've seen, bad attitudes destroy church meetings. I've seen them destroy relationships. I've seen them destroy work relationships. I've seen people lose jobs because of bad attitudes. But there is good news. That's the third thing I want to share with you. The good news is, you can control your attitude. You say, well, Pastor, I've been living with myself for a long time. I don't think I can control it. No, you can. You can control your attitude. Absolutely. Without a doubt, the human mind is one of the most powerful things God has ever created. It gives you the choice to do right things and wrong things. It gives you influence. You get to learn. You get to do all kinds of great things with this human mind. In every one of our lives, at any moment in time, there's positive and negative things happening to us. And which one you are is what you feed the most. Now understand, you can't choose what happens to you. You can't choose what happens to you. Good things happen to people, bad things happen to people. We can't choose them. Believe me, this week was one of those weeks for us. Our refrigerator went out. Riding lawnmower stopped working. Car battery needed to be replaced. And on top of that, my roof leaked. I had a pretty good reason to have a bad attitude. And maybe that's why I'm preaching the sermon today. But in the midst of all this, we can choose our own attitude. Now, I'm not telling you what my attitude was. I'm just telling you that you can choose your own attitude even in the midst of all these crises. You know, you say, well, Lord, what else could happen? Amen. Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Oh, my goodness, I'm telling you. No matter what happens to you, you got to remember it's you that makes the decision about your attitude. Nobody else. No matter if it's good things that happen or bad things, you control your own destiny. And so far we talked about how our attitude really reveals who we are. Whatever's inside, it comes out. Second thing we talked about, we looked at our attitude and we talked about how it determines the success or the failure of every relationship we're in. And third, we wrapped out by pointing out the fact that our attitude is always our choice. It doesn't matter what Paul did, what Peter did, what Susie did, or any of those other people. You decide whether you're going to be in a good mood or a bad mood every single day. It's up to you. So you say, well, Pastor, it's good to know about all those attitude things, but how can I do something about them? Because, Lord, I need help. Hey, I was asking the same question. So I said, God, what can I do about these attitude problems? He said, well, first, learn from your father. I said, oh, my heavenly father? No, your earthly father. The first thing my dad told me every morning is to wake up with a smile on your face and pray to the Lord. And by doing that, I could tell you that my days were better. Now, I know I've told you this many times, but it's true. Psalms 5:3 even proves it. It says, my voice shall be thou heard in the morning. O Lord, will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. If you start your day in a positive way, looking to the Lord in the morning with a smile on your face, no matter what the day throws at you, you're going to react in a better way. The second thing that can help your attitude is to begin speaking with positive words. To learn to begin speaking with positive words. And the reason I say learn is because it's real easy to speak bad about people. It just flies out of our mouth. I mean, negative comments, criticism, that's easy. But you have to learn to speak positive words if you want a good attitude. Hebrews 3:13 says this, but encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You see, we have to learn because it doesn't come naturally. It's not a natural thing. But let me tell you this. If you start speaking positively about people and positively in situations, you start encouraging people, you create this environment where people are happy. People want to be around you. They look forward to you walking in the room. I don't always have a perfect attitude.
But you know, one of the reputations I have at Moby is when I go in there to visit, people are looking forward to see me because they say, you just brighten up my day. You just make work more fun. Why? Because I laugh and I joke and I love on them. I treat them as people. I don't know. But you have to learn to encourage people. It's not something that we normally do. So first, before you even get your feet out of the bed, put a smile on your face, even if it's fake, and pray to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me with this day. Second, learn to speak positive words. Learn to be encouraging to people. And third, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. So it's saying, get rid of all that bad stuff. Now this is hard. Because you see somebody and you're like, that person owes me $20. I ain't talking to them. And then you look over and you say, mm-mm. She dated my sister's brother's cousin, slept with John and Peter and Paul, and now she's over here and she's trying to talk to me? Oh, no.
Not dealing with that.
You got to get that negative stuff out, and you got to get the positive, encouraging stuff in. Let me give you an instance. There were two guys in a jail. How can you be positive in a jail? Well, one guy, he looked through the bars, and he's like, what do you see, Tom? Tom's like, man, all I see is bars. Joe's like, oh, I see the stars and the clouds and stuff outside. He's like, man, I don't know how you're always so positive. Then later, a couple weeks went by. Old Joe was walking by. Tom said, hey, Joe, where are you going? He was trying to be encouraging. Joe said, oh, I'm going to the lecture chair. Tom said, hey, well, more power to you, brother. He was trying to be encouraging, even in a situation like that. So beginning today, I dare you to try a little experiment. I dare you to try just a little experiment. For one day, pick one day out of the week. One day. I'm not telling you to do it every day of your life, although that would be awesome. But pick one day of the week. Say, you know what? I'm in a bad mood Monday because that's just how Mondays are. But Tuesday, every place I go, I'm going to try to encourage a person. So when I go into work, when somebody says, hey, how's your morning? And sir, how was your weekend? Fine. Then you go in. Now that's how the conversation takes place. It's like when you go to a cashier. How's your day? Good. How's yours? Good. Okay, thank you. Now, I want you to have one day where you focus and you try to encourage people. So somebody says, well, hi, how's your day today? Well, it started out a little rough, but it's going better now. How about yours? It must be tough saying it on your feet all day. Well, yeah, it does get a little sore. Well, I don't know if anybody tells you this, but I appreciate all the work you're doing. Without you, I wouldn't be able to buy these groceries and feed the people at my house. So thanks for the job that you do. Try to encourage every person that you run into for one day, all day long. Whether it's the people that come into your place of work, whether it's the people you talk to at your home, just for one day. And see what a difference that makes, because that positive climate I was talking about, you're going to create it by doing that. Just try it for one day and watch what happens. You'll like it so much that you'll want to do it more and more and more. And it is hard, but it's a huge blessing if you can figure it out. So I want to end with a little scripture here because I think it helps us. How do you have good things in your heart? How do you get good things to come out of your mouth? It's not by just training yourself. It's not by just holding your tongue, but it's by changing what your mind thinks about. Philippians 4, 8, and 9 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, it's easy to let our mind wander to negative things. But if you're focused on good things are going to come out. So I want to show you this little thing that just proves how important your attitude is today. So here I got a couple of interesting things, items. I've got a couple of forks. Good, heavy stainless steel forks. I don't like the cheap forks that bend, you know, when you dip them in ice cream and stuff. So I had good fork. Yeah, you don't have the plastic forks that break off and you eat the little tongues. Then I got a glass. Not just any glass, but a Muppets glass, because Muppets glasses are cool. Then I have a box of toothpicks from Dollar General, because sometimes I get stuff stuck in my teeth. So with these couple of artifacts here, I'm going to show you how attitudes are important. In the beginning of the service today, I said that next to your relationship with Jesus Christ, an attitude is the most important thing that you have. So, this fork symbolizes your knowledge. All the things that you've learned over life, all the wisdom that you have, all the things that God has taught you. This is an example of the gifts and talents that God has given you. Okay? This is your circle of influence. This is all the people in the world that you get to influence that God puts in your realm. And then this little tiny wooden toothpick is your attitude. So I can see many of you are puzzled. So we take these two heavy stainless steel forks, and we're going to combine them together. This is your attitude. I mean, this is your gifts and your talents and your knowledge. So we're going to shove them together. So they're pretty strong. Then we're going to take this toothpick, your attitude. We're going to put it through there. Then we're going to balance it on this little glass here. That's the goal, anyway. Always works better in theory. Get over here on this wood part. Okay, a little better. I want to be able to put it so you all can see. Okay.
Ta-da.
So, what you have here is these two heavy stainless steel forks being held up by a tiny wooden toothpick in this glass. And what this is telling you is that you can have great knowledge and wisdom, you can have great gifts and talents from God, but your attitude is what connects you to your circle of influence. Now, if you notice, out of all the things that I have here, the only thing that can be burned is this wood toothpick. And the reason it can be burned is because that's what's tried most in our life, really. It's not our skills. It's not the gifts and talents God gives us. It's not even our circle of influence. What gets tried the most every day in our life really is our attitude. And that's why it's the only thing that it can burn. And so I'll show you that even when you go through tough times, you can keep a good attitude. So as I burn this toothpick, what would you suspect is going to happen?
Forks are going to fall.
Forks are going to fall, right? Church, what do you think?
Well, I was going to say.
Let's see what happens. So as we burn this toothpick, we see it stands the test of time, but yet the forks are still there. Well, you say, well, maybe that toothpick is a symbol of all the misery that you've been through this week. Maybe it's your lawnmower not starting, or your roof leaking, or your refrigerator going out, or having to replace your car batteries.
Sump pump.
But then you come through, and now your sump pump's gone. So boy, let's see how that affects your attitude.
Man.
So you go and you burn it again. And folks, I could sit here and light these matches all day long. Why? Because those bad things aren't changing my attitude. I'm saying I'm going to have a good attitude no matter what happens in life. And so because I have a good attitude, I can use my gifts and my talents and my knowledge to influence my circle of the people that God puts in my life. Even when it gets shaken, you think I can pick up this glass? We'll see what happens. This toothpick is balancing on less than 1 millimeter of the glass. But what happens when your attitude is bad? Now you don't have any circle of influence anymore. Your gifts and your talents and your knowledge, what are they, broken apart? Why? Because they're not good for anything. Because your bad attitude, nobody listens to you. Nobody responds. Doesn't matter how many gifts and talents God's given you. Doesn't matter how great your knowledge is. You no longer can be a positive influence for the circle God's put you in. Your attitude may be a really small thing in the realm of the world, but without a positive attitude, you really don't have much of anything. That's why I say your attitude is the most important thing next to your relationship with Jesus Christ. Christians, I know life throws tough things at us. But with your attitude got positive, you can give blessings and help one another and make this life that we're living here, even though the earth is filled with sin, you can make it pleasurable, loving, and you can bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But with a bad attitude, all you're going to do is drive them away and waste the wonderful gifts and talents and knowledge that God gave you. In the beginning of the sermon today, I asked how many people's attitude changes like the weather in Kansas, and a lot of people raised their hands. If you're having a tough time with your attitude towards anything today, I want to remind you that God is there to help you with it. In Isaiah 41 and 10, it says this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." If you're having a trouble with your attitude today, now is the time to come down and ask God to help you with it. Would you please come and stand as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, God, because if we're honest with ourselves, Lord, many of us struggle with our attitudes. We know we shouldn't let circumstances cause us to act in certain ways. We know we shouldn't let conditions cause us to act in certain ways or people to cause us to act in certain ways. I don't know about the people in the congregation, but God, I know about me. And when those things were going wrong in my life this week, Lord, there were times when that bad attitude crept out. And it didn't creep out because I was full of good things. It creeped out because there were some bad things in me, Lord. And God, I need to purge those things from me, Lord. I need to ask you for forgiveness today, God. So I'm going to go down to the altars and I'm going to pray that you'll help me to have a good attitude in all circumstances. That you'll help me to be able to overcome. And Lord, I encourage if there's anybody here that's struggling with an attitude, whether it's toward a family member, a friend, a thing, God, whatever they're struggling with, to come and give it to you. Because I don't know about them, Lord, but I want to use every gift and talent you've given me. I want to use the knowledge and wisdom you've given me in that circle of influence that you blessed me with to lead people to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, God, for our services today, Lord. Thank you for everybody that participated, God. Thank you for the people in the congregation that are worshiping, open their hearts to you, listening to your word, God. Thank you, Lord, for the people that have made the sacrifice, God, to be able to drive near and far to be here today, Lord. Thank you for our musicians and the people who sang and the people who helped with the tithes and offerings and the mission march. And just thank you, God, for every single person, Lord, who participated in the service today, Lord. What a blessing it is to be in your house and to be able to serve you and live with your people, Lord. God, I pray that as we go throughout this week, Lord, God, that we would be reminded of this sermon, Lord. God, when something happens to us that's negative, I pray you bring this sermon to our mind. Lord, when something happens to us that's positive, I pray that you bring this sermon to our mind, Lord. Help us truly to take one day this week and pick it out and try to encourage every person we meet and see how that changes the atmosphere, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be encouragers. Help us to cast out any negative thoughts and language we have, Lord. Help us to lift one another up, God. Help to strengthen our attitudes, Lord, so that we can be a good witness to be able to use the gifts and talents and knowledge you've given us to bless other people with, Lord, and lead them to you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do for us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.